Hello, everyone. 6 months after the summit meeting in San Francisco between President Biden and China's President Xi Jinping, where do things stand? On the surface, it would appear that many of the same issues that have caused disputes remain unresolved, such as Taiwan's status. Meantime, new disputes have come along, such as in the South China Sea. Yet there are some positives, starting with the resumption of regular high-level contact between top officials. As a result, China's leaders have concluded that the relationship has stabilized. Foreign Minister Wang Yi set the tone in a speech in January. Quote, "After strenuous efforts, the two sides have restructured communication and dialogue, stemming the decline and stabilizing bilateral ties." Wang praised Biden's commitments on Taiwan policy and on not seeking, quote, "to suppress and contain China's development." "The two sides reached consensus," said Wang, "on more than 20 achievements, restored and established a series of dialogue and communication mechanisms, and formed a future-oriented San Francisco vision," unquote. Xi Jinping has pointed to the positive direction of relations a number of times since. For example, when he met with U.S. business executives in March, he said that since the San Francisco meeting, the two sides had made progress in several areas, and as a result, quote, "China and the United States have more, not fewer, common interests." Both presidents, moreover, are in agreement on a number of points that may lead to more positive achievements. They agree that the U.S.-China relationship must be managed responsibly, that the worst thing that can happen is a war between them, and that the two countries have a global obligation to find ways to work together. At the San Francisco summit, Biden and Xi identified three common projects: stopping fentanyl precursor production in China, working on climate change, and resuming military-to-military meetings. Xi also agreed that China would not interfere in the U.S. elections. How did those agreements work out? In a nutshell, the results are these. On fentanyl, Xi agreed to target Chinese companies and block their accounts. A working group was established to coordinate counter-narcotics issues. In February, U.S. and Chinese officials met and agreed to review the problem. Second, Xi and Biden also reached agreement to, quote, "pursue efforts to triple renewable energy capacity globally by 2030. And on military talks, four meetings have occurred since San Francisco, including one between defense secretaries for the first time since November 2022. A working group has met on maritime military concerns, reportedly with good results. As for China's promise not to interfere in U.S. elections, the U.S. charges that it has not kept that promise. In addition, on the negative side, there continues to be disagreement on a wide range of issues: Taiwan, U.S. security policy in Asia, trade, human rights, and China's support of Russia's aggression in Ukraine. At first glance, therefore, it might appear that the negatives outweigh the positives. But I think otherwise, especially when we recall how bad relations were only a year or so ago. Both countries are being very careful not to let flashpoints, such as Taiwan and the South China Sea, spill over into actual conflict. Stabilized relations are an improvement over unpredictable relations. However, it must also be said that the U.S. and China often speak past one another. Whereas U.S. leaders and diplomats want to focus only on specific issues, the Chinese insist that the U.S. accept certain principles, primary among them, partnership, not rivalry. Here we have a fundamental collision of views: the U.S. portrayal of China as the number one threat to national security versus China's belief that the U.S. is wedded to Cold War zero-sum thinking instead of focusing on cooperation. At bottom, what the Chinese really want and what the U.S. will not give them is agreement not to interfere in what the Chinese regard as internal matters, a red line that includes Taiwan, human rights, and economic development strategy. One way for the U.S. to break the ice would be to drop the idea of permanent rivalry and challenge the People's Republic of China to demonstrate partnership on Ukraine while the U.S. demonstrates that its aid to Taiwan is not in support of Taiwan independence. See if a different U.S. approach to China will decrease Chinese support of Russia in the war and reduce hostility toward Taiwan. Failure to come to grips with the question of how to characterize the relationship as partnership or rivalry means that friction will go on for a long time, cooperation on particular issues will be spotty, and conflict management, not conflict resolution, will be essential to keep the pot from boiling over. I'm Mel Gertal for The Global Citizen. Thanks very much for listening.